And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. So in the last month or so, the state of Massachusetts has passed, signed, and put into effect landmark legislation addressing climate change. The bill, known as the Next Generation Climate Roadmap, has a whole lot of really important policy initiatives having to do with setting carbon dioxide emissions for 2030, carbon dioxide emissions reductions goals for 2030, 2050, calls for more wind turbines, et cetera, et cetera. One of the important ways to address carbon emissions in Massachusetts is by addressing the built environment. So something like 25% of the emissions in Massachusetts come from homes, typically being heated by natural gas and stuff, right? And inefficient, triple deckers, I mean, all kinds of. So there's a huge slice of carbon emissions that come from buildings. And one of the aspects of the new bill has to do with building codes, which is this arcane thing. A building code are the rules of the road for how you construct a new building. And of course, as climate activists, we want those new building codes to be consistent with carbon dioxide reductions over the next few decades when you build a new building, right? Simple enough. Of course, nothing is simple. And there are building codes, and there are agencies and bureaucracies and whatnot. And to help us understand the implications of the new climate bill, especially with regard to these building codes and the built environment, buzzword, right? Built environment. We are thrilled to have with us Sarah Dooling, who is the executive director of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, who can explain it all to us. So, Sarah, tell me, was that little explanation of building codes, did I get it right or did I get it wrong? What should people know?
Well, I'm so thrilled to be here, Ted, and hello to everyone who's listening. I grew up in a household that my mom was a teacher and my dad is still an architect. And so I grew up around this language of building code. And so on the one hand, yes, building code, it's kind of invisible to people, to sort of everyday people living in our homes or our apartments, pre-COVID going out to restaurants and going food shopping. So I think what I have come to realize coming back to Massachusetts and working now at MCAN is that building code is really powerful, right? It's really a powerful tool that our advocates understand, our partner organizations understand, and the Baker administration understands. And so do other organizations like powerful real estate and development lobby groups, because our built environment, and, you know, that's kind of a jargony way of talking about where we live, is always highly regulated. And a building code is a really efficient way. A statewide building code is a very efficient way that says to communities, this is how you build. These are the materials you use. And these are the standards, the performance standards, the way we want our buildings to function. That's all lined outlined. So in some sense, yes, building code is this abstract, very technical, for some people, super boring policy tool, regulatory tool, actually. But it's incredibly powerful. And we have seen that in the climate bill. And MCAN, we worked with Representative Tammy Gouveia in making sure that the opt-in net zero stretch code language was inserted into the climate bill that Governor Baker signed. And for those of you that watched the signing of the climate bill and listened to Governor Baker and then listened to Secretary Theo Harades talk about the bill, they actually did not use the language of a net zero stretch code. They used different language. And the language that they used was really about a high performance energy code. And that's different. And so for folks listening on the call, I'm going to step back a little bit and talk about the different kind of building code in the state. And so the state of Massachusetts, there is what is called a base code. And then there is a stretch code. The base code is really intended to be kind of the minimum, the bare minimum that municipalities can regulate how buildings are built.
And sorry, just, I mean, like the base code would regulate things like how many exits there are, right? Yes. If you have an upstairs bedroom, do you have a way to get out if there's a fire?
How yes, many egress
in the
yes.
wall? I mean, all these kind of really things you don't even think about after the house is built, but they're all defined in the base code.
Yes, right, exactly. And so if folks on the call remember last year, and this is all about the base code still, or a few, yes. Last year, Massachusetts was one of the states that voted on a nationwide building code, the IECC, the International Energy Conservation Code. And MCAN, our former Better Buildings Director, Rebecca, and our advocates, we registered over 500 municipal staff and local elected leaders to really push for and improve that national code. It was really important. So it became more stringent. And so that base, so voting on and Massachusetts is now adopting at the entity that promulgates building code in Massachusetts, which is called the Board of Building Regulations and Standards, BBRS. So now the BBRS is in the process of taking that national building code and updating Massachusetts base code. So that means that the base code is going to be slightly more efficient than the stretch code.
So the stretch code is a word that people have talked about for years, but the stretch code, what we are stretching is the energy efficiency. It's a
correct.
Stretch target, right, for a building code. This comes from the 2008 Global Warming Solutions Act,
yes.
right? The stretch
yes.
code at the time was, oh yeah, if you stretch and have this better code, that's where the nomenclature comes from, right?
Correct. That's right, Ted. And so now the base code is more stringent than the stretch code. And right. the stretch code is the ceiling beyond which municipalities cannot ask more from builders and developers. So it really sets the threshold, the upper end, the ceiling, and the base code sets the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're saying that's inverted now. That the
yes.
base code is higher than the stretch code.
More stringent, yes.
So we need to restretch ourselves and do yes. a yoga move or something and stretch that spine out a little bit farther.
Correct. And so the net zero stretch code uh-huh. is really intended to make that ceiling much, much higher. In other words, whereas the base code really is emphasizing efficiency, the stretch code, really a true net zero stretch code, emphasizes three things. So it emphasizes electrification, right? And so making sure that we have a clean energy source that powers electrification. In addition to electrification, again, making sure that the buildings, these newly constructed buildings, are really efficient, focusing on what's called the building envelope. And in addition to that, focusing on making sure that there are air source heat pumps and other kinds of technologies that work best in combination with very, very tight building envelopes so that we are using energy much, much more efficiently.
And the electrification, just to be clear, the electrification means... for example, you would have an induction stove in your kitchen as opposed to a
correct.
Gas stove, right? So the electric, I mean, is again, it's this funny buzzword, but what it means is taking mm-hmm. taking all the stuff from your home that relies on burning gas and basically mm-hmm. getting rid of it. So you're looking at hot
yes.
water heaters, you're looking at how your dryer works, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So all of the appliances, plug ready, powered with clean electricity. Mm-hmm. So we have electricity, electrification, we have energy efficiency technologies and a tight building envelope. And the third component is having access to renewable energy on site or being able to procure it off site. And so those three components, the renewable energy, the electrification, and the energy efficiency technologies are the three piers to a net zero building foundation. And a net zero stretch code, MCAN really advocates that the net zero stretch code, building code, must include all three components. Again, renewable energy, electrification, and energy efficiency technologies.
So when you hear about net zero stretch code, that's the jargon for the thing that we're aiming at, right?
Correct.
Net zero stretch code is going to be more than the base code. I mean, there's so many words here, right? There's the base code that's being adopted, which is a good base code, but the net zero stretch code is what we need to get to.
Correct.
Because of these three important features that you're talking about. And this is all for new buildings.
New right? construction.
Which now you're thinking about 2050, right? New buildings now are going to be old buildings in 2050. And so, okay.
Mm-hmm. And what the climate, the next generation roadmap climate bill becomes law in June. Mm-hmm. And it has a couple of really important pieces to it about shifting the responsibility of which state agency now is responsible for developing the net zero stretch code. As I mentioned before, the Board of Building Regulations and Standards, that entity has been the promulgating body for building code in Massachusetts. What the climate bill does is direct the Department of Energy Resources, the DOER, right? Here we go. Some more alphabet soup. Right? So the DOER is now directed to develop a net zero stretch code that communities, that municipalities across the state have the option to adopt by 2022. And this takes, this directive in the climate bill takes that responsibility away from the BBRS. However, DOER and the BBRS, they have to work together. And that is also stipulated in the climate legislation, in the climate bill. It's not entirely clear what that working relationship is going to be. Both DOER and BBRS are in the process of trying to figure that out. So
the bill calls for the climate roadmap bill that was just passed, calls for the definition of a net zero stretch code, right? And that will be something that communities can choose to adopt, right? Above the base. So that's the sort of the stakes. There's an ongoing process. So the net zero stretch code, the details are to be defined, right? And that's a process that's ongoing.
Yes. Well, it is interesting, Ted. The bill actually says that the stretch code must include, but is not limited to, a net zero stretch code.
Okay.
And a definition of a net zero stretch code. So there is, I want to go back to some of my opening comments here around how Governor Baker, Secretary Theo Harades, and actually the DOER have been referring to this code. They have not explicitly been referring to a net zero stretch code. The DOER, Secretary Theo Harades, and Governor Baker continuously refer to a high energy performance code. And a high energy performance code actually supports as a ceiling, right? Actually only allows municipalities to really think about building a high energy, a super efficient structure. That is powered by gas or propane or oil. A high energy performance building code does not make explicit renewable energy or clean energy sources or building electrification.
So it sounds good, right? High efficiency.
It sounds great.
But it sort of sidesteps the fundamental issue of electrification, right?
Of clean energy source. For right. electrification.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Right. And so that is That's the issue. And as folks on the call, on the podcast recall that when the climate bill was in negotiations, going back and forth between the governor's desk and the legislature, the Baker administration actually came out and said, we're worried that a true net zero stretch code will choke the production of affordable housing, will limit how we can build affordable housing. And that language and that perspective really comes from development lobby groups that fail to recognize that in Massachusetts, we are already building to net zero standards. And our partner organization, Built Environment Plus, if you go to their website, they have a fantastic database of net zero projects from the healthcare. They have looked at healthcare facilities, schools, and other kinds of institution buildings. Commercial and residential, single family and multifamily. And based on their database that really quantified construction costs, building to net zero standard only contributes 1 or 2% to the overall construction cost. And in many cases, it's negligible. It's a negligible cost. So we are already building to constructing net zero buildings.
It seems like that argument is one I've heard as a classic kind of the argument about being affordable housing, denying affordable housing is one of these classes of arguments for delaying climate work by somehow pointing out that addressing climate change is unfair to certain parts of the population. And that's a twisting, I think, of the intent and everything here. And it's something we got to watch out for as activists, that these arguments get recycled over and over and over again. And somehow the idea that, energy, a net zero stretch code is bad for people is just inaccurate, right?
It is inaccurate. And I think it reflects that rhetoric that equates the inability to build affordable housing with climate change measures to make housing more efficient and to increase access to renewable energy. It is a spurious argument, and it reflects kind of an entrenched position among developers that they don't want to change how they build for a whole variety of reasons. However, we're already building in this way. So it doesn't, at the end of the day, that rhetoric just doesn't ring true. Mm-hmm. And I think part of MCAN's work with Built Environment Plus and part of MCAN's work with our Better Buildings Advocates is really emphasizing that affordable housing is a climate solution. And it is a climate solution when we also think about making sure that environmental justice communities and gateway city people living in gateway cities, these are the folks that really stand to benefit the most from new housing that is safe because of indoor air quality. If we're not turning on a gas powered stove, instead we're turning on an induction stove. That means that the indoor air quality is going to be so much safer for folks. So net zero stretch code building or net zero building or house, it's going to have healthy indoor air. It's going to be really efficient and affordable to heat and cool. And so many people living in gateway cities and environmental justice communities, they are, especially Black and brown households, are disproportionately, they are paying so much more to power their homes compared to people living in more affluent white households. So that utility burden idea is really, really critical here. And then lastly, net zero homes are, they emit less and they're powered by clean energy. So again, the net zero building, the net zero house is already happening. And we just, and part of the challenge for MCAN and our advocates right now is to make it very clear to DOER and to the BBRS that we really want a true net zero stretch code, not a high performance energy code.
How can people do that?
Great question. Great question. So the first opportunity for folks who want to make their voices heard about demanding a true net zero stretch code, there is an upcoming meeting in May at the BBRS. They will have a public comment period as part of that meeting. That meeting time and date has not yet been posted. So MCAN will be making that announcement as soon as we know of the date and the time on our website and on our social media. So stay tuned for that. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, the DOER is going to be doing hosting five meetings starting in about June. And the purpose of these meetings is to do what they're calling some community outreach. At this point, again, none of those dates have been posted. So again, stay tuned to MCAN social media
if I could just comment,
upcoming dates.
There was, I think a similar process was done for the transit, the TCI, Transit and Climate Initiative. And this second set of meetings that you're talking about are much less formal. Anyone can go. They're conversational. Mm-hmm. There's not
Correct.
Some sort of, hearing process where you have to be a
no.
lawyer to get in front of it, right?
Oh, so no,
people
not
can
at
just
all.
Go and talk. And it's yes. very interesting. You meet other people. This is all going to be on Zoom. I'm sure it'll be in a Zoom breakout room with blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
But I mean, you meet other people and it's a conversation more than a public hearing process.
Well, the BBRS is not so much, advocates will have 3 minutes to state their piece, to make their voice heard. And so there's not a lot of interaction between folks that give public comment, but it is very, very important that the BBRS hear from advocates about our wish for a true net zero stretch code.
All right. So people who are listening to this ought to be following MCAN on Twitter, which is at Mass Climate.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And tell me more, where else can people find out when these meetings are coming up?
Oh, you can also go to our website under events. You can, and if you are really interested in giving public comment at the BBRS hearing, I am actually hosting an overview of what the net zero stretch code is and what a net zero building is. And that event is actually scheduled for Wednesday, April 21st from 1 to 2:30 p.m. That is also on our website under events. You need to register. And once you register, you will receive a Zoom link. And a lot of what I talked about today with Ted, I will go into more detail during this training session. And then at the end, the outcome of that training session is that you will have your talking points. We'll go over the BBRS process and you'll be good to go.
I think that personally, I have to hear things four times before the penny drops and I understand what's going on. So this podcast is a interesting foretaste of what you'll be able to learn and appreciate more, right? You hear more each
yes.
time you go through it. So that's April 21st. People ought to sign up. I'll put up a link to that on the web page associated with this podcast, which is, of course, well, Sarah, we should put it down there. Is there anything else that you want people to know?
I think those are, these are the opportunities for advocates. I think this is not so municipalities have the ability to opt into a net zero stretch code by 2022. This is not going to be an easy process, given that there are very powerful development lobby groups that don't want to build differently. They don't want their pro forma to look differently. They don't want to learn how to build differently. And so there's going to be some fierce opposition, even among what I consider progressive cities and towns that have a net zero plan, that have already adopted the already existing stretch code. So this is, however, this is, you know, we are riding the wave of momentum here with the Biden administration's commitment to climate, to progressive climate change action. And a lot of the of what was in the climate bill will be law in June. And so this climate bill is one of the most aggressive, progressive bills in the nation that will be law in Massachusetts. So this is our moment. This is our moment to build on making sure that we do set up for our grandkids and our and future generations a clean and equitable future. And so I invite everybody to join MCAN in this effort.
Sarah, all I can think of is the quote from Gandhi when you talk about we should expect pushback from powerful forces in trying to get the building codes, this net zero stretch code in place. When Gandhi said, you know, first they laugh at you and then they fight you, which is what's going to happen now, and then you
Correct.
Win. Right. So this is the right. This is if you irritated important people, that may be a good thing. So, all right. Well, look, I will put up links to this stuff on the blog. It'll be at the blog associated with this show will be at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about the show or ideas of things we ought to talk about, you can send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what you think is important. You're probably listening to this on your smartphone. Please tell all your friends to listen to our show on their smartphones using their favorite podcast distribution apps. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, and because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investments, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. I always enjoy being on this podcast, Ted.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.